Hello and welcome to this month's Living with Parkinson's meetup. I'm Chris Krueger, Program Manager for Educational Content with the Davis-Hy Foundation. And like our panelists, I live with Parkinson's. I was diagnosed in 2020 when I was 37. Today we're going to discuss a kind of broad topic. We're going to talk about how we can get things done in the world while living with Parkinson's. And but before we get started, I wanted to share some hard news that is partially the inspiration behind this. Behind this topics, but behind why we chose this topic today. And it's that our friend Tom Polisi passed away recently. Tom was a committed husband, father, friend. He was smart and kind and just an all-around amazing guy. And his influence on the Parkinson's community and the Davis-Fini Foundation is just huge. Tom was an advocate for people with Parkinson's everywhere, and he was deeply involved in so many projects. From our ambassador program in Pedaling for Parkinson's to the annual Tour to Victory event and so much more as well. So, at the start of this meetup, I wanted to offer the panelists an opportunity to share their thoughts about this sad news. And before I do that, I just wanted to say a couple additional things. I want to just acknowledge that this is really hard to talk about for some of us. So, I don't want to put any pressure on anybody to share anything if it's not the right time for them to talk. So please, panelists, don't feel any pressure on that front. And I also want to extend some thanks to some friends that have joined us for this meetup as some guest panelists. So panelists, when you speak for the first time today, why don't you just introduce yourselves? Because some of you are rejoining us from a little bit of a hiatus. So please just as you contribute, please just introduce yourselves as we go. And we'll start by just sharing some thoughts about Tom. And if I can, I'll ask Kat to get us started on that front, if that's okay, Kat.
Sure. Hi, everybody. I'm calling in today from actually my truck in downtown Portland. I was really honored to know Tom. He was a bit of a mentor for me, as he was one of the original crews of ambassadors. And some of us came on. I see some other familiar faces. Hi, Lorraine. And Tom was just always there. He was steady. He was kind. He was easy to approach, and he helped really welcome me to the foundation. And so I feel like I learned a lot of grace and stick-to-itiveness from his mentorship. And I think he'll be sorely missed at the foundation. So it's really fun to see some of my longtime colleagues on this call. So, and I also think that communicating sometimes is about the hard stuff and coming together as a community and sharing stories is powerful, and I think he would like that we're doing that. But I, yeah, so that's what I'm gonna say. Thanks.
Tom and I were called on to go talk to a pharmaceutical company some time back, and we knew each other before that, but we ended up spending the entire day together. And we had flown specifically in for this thing, and both of us were talking about how you start these things when you have young onset Parkinson's, and when you are young and early in your diagnosis, and you have so much energy around it. And then as things advance, how difficult it is to maintain these things, because of course the Parkinson's does its thing and takes away more and more, and how important it is to have exit strategies and contingency plans and continuity plans, and just how things that you start will get maintained as it goes. And this was an ongoing conversation with Tom and I, even this last ambassador conference. He and I sat down and touched base again on that specific topic. And he was so grateful to the foundation. He's so excited that they were going to really take on this pedaling for Parkinson's, you know, you know, and he was able to feel like it was in good hands. And I know that that was a huge, huge thing for him. And I'm so glad that that happened for him. And I want to share that lesson with everyone, from Tom and I, is that our enormous energy and our excitement is so important. At the same time, we need to be so thoughtful about how to land the plane without crashing it.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to pass that along because I know that Tom would want you to hear that. And I definitely want you to hear that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I first met Tom coming back from D.C. We were calling on our congressman for the Parkinson's Action Network. And it's one of those plane rides when you sit home with someone. There are those people in the world where you just don't want to sit next to them on that plane ride across the country. And there are those that you just take every moment in. And Tom was the latter. We just hit it off so much. And Tom, when I moved from California to Colorado, was one of the early people that I knew here. And what my thoughts on Tom was that he was always the tribe first, ego second. So many of us who are involved in advocacy sort of have our own agenda on things, on what we want to do. But Tom, it was all about the tribe. And he was so very dedicated in that way. The one thing that I wanted to mention about Tom was that a couple of years ago during COVID, he approached a number of us and wanted to form a men's group of selected individuals that would just get together and talk about heady things, you know, like Beavis and Butthead skits and things. No, I'm joking. But he was really wanting to get deep into things that often can get together with groups such as this. And I'm sorry to say that because of COVID and people's agendas, we never kicked it off. And so my comment to the group are, as a tribute to the memory of people like Tom, it's to go out there and do the things that you think you can do later and you put it off, because you put it off in our tribe and maybe you never get a chance to come back to it. So anyway, that's sort of my thoughts on Tom. I miss him dearly.
Yeah, he was the first person associated with the Finney Foundation that I ever met in person. And he will remain one of the main faces of the Davis Finney Foundation for me. I didn't know Tom that well, despite living only about an hour, less than an hour from him. But I met him at a conference 2 years ago, before he and I both started having health issues, aside from Parkinson's. But he was just a very nice, well-rounded man, very caring, and he will be missed.
Thank you.
Yeah, Tom. Go ahead. Go ahead, Lorraine.
Thank you. I think one of the most important things that I learned from Tom, even in our short interactions, was the reminder to be welcoming to everybody when they express interest, in particular in what they can do for others. I had first met him with being an ambassador, but then connected more with him about pedaling for Parkinson's and wanting to become an instructor at that time. He had some information about what they were promoting. And it didn't matter that he didn't know me 100%. He was willing to trust me 100% to become a good pedaling for Parkinson's instructor and promote that in the area. And I greatly appreciated not only what he did and how he behaved and what he said, but that reminder for me to do the same thing for others.
And I want to say Tom was diagnosed with Parkinson's 16 years ago or so. And to look at the man, you couldn't tell he had Parkinson's. I think it was a testimony to the way he lived his life, exercising and following medicine regimens. But he was in great shape and was a pillar of Parkinson's, if you will.
I think Tom lived his life as Tom, and oh, by the way, I have Parkinson's. It wasn't first and foremost in his mind. He was one of the kindest men I've ever met in my life. He, when I spoke with him, he truly, truly engaged, and I knew he was listening and responding. And we had a really nice conversation when we were in D.C. in 2019. We had a dinner, Davis Finney dinner, as we were visiting one of the nights that we were there, and Tom and I sat beside each other. We didn't know each other all that well, but we didn't stop talking for 2 hours. So it was, you know, that's my memory of him. And then had a pedal with Parkinson's with him when he was vacationing in Carlsbad. He just always was so committed to pedaling with Parkinson's, and he invited me to come down to do a live one from the gym in the hotel where he was staying. And he'll be, as you said, Doug, he is very deeply missed.
I was going to say, Tom and I met when I became an ambassador with Davis Finney Foundation. He had been in the original group that was a year before us. So I can't remember how many years ago that was, but Tom and I just always had a great time together. But 2 years ago, I was really blessed. I went to do the Tour de Victory that we have coming up this May 18th. But that was Tom's baby. He used to exist years ago and in some other form, but he brought it back this way. And he was so tied into the community that the site they were going to have the Tour de Victory at didn't work out, and he made a couple of contacts, and soon enough, he got a place better than anybody could have expected. And that was the way Tom was loved in his community. He really made things happen. But the real blessing was I got most of the week with him. So he and I got a lot of time together. And he used to call me his brother in Parkinson's, or say we were all brothers in Parkinson's. He and Rich Wildow and I were pretty close. And Tom had been writing a response to a question Rich had about getting a bike recently. And I noticed that I hadn't written back, and Tom was just giving his comment about this data list he had. So I skipped his email and I just went and wrote Rich what I wrote. And it turned out this last email Tom wrote a week before he died. And in that email, you could hear that he was having extremely hard times. And he was making jokes about it. And the amazing thing is he saw this path to beating it. And this was just 1 week before he died. That's Tom. I mean, he's an optimist to the end. One last thing I wanted to say, I think what's most amazing is the very last meetup that Tom led was in February when the topic was love. Thought that was quite mm-hmm. fitting.
Tom was, when I first became an ambassador for the Davis Finney Foundation, we were all assigned pen pals that would kind of guide us through the process. And Tom was my pen pal. And he wrote me the most lovely email. I actually just was looking it up a few minutes ago. And he was someone who really inspired me as to what a healthy life with Parkinson's could look like. Just you do everything you can and do the best to your ability, and you hope it turns out well. And with him, he would keep doing things to the best of his ability, regardless of how it turned out. And his positivity and his just commitment to living well as he could with the disease, and his generosity and his just compassion towards what I was going through as someone who was more newly diagnosed was just very heartwarming. And he was always so active in the Living Well with Parkinson's conversations, and he would comment on what I would say, and I'm going to miss him.
Some words that come to mind for Tom. Classy. Handsome. Mm-hmm. In the best shape of all of us, I'd say. I used to get scuffles with him about working out. Like, we used to tease each other. I'd say, yeah, you check your heartbeat and things like that, you know. I can't even feel mine. But he was selfless. He was quietly in service. In fact, I owed him a phone call. And I used to live to get his facial expressions to change. One time we were on a call with someone showing us something, and his facial expression was like, and I actually said, can you pan the camera to Tom? So thank you. It's been an honor to be here. I had to come back just to say that we'll miss him. Thank you, Chris, for allowing us all to have a moment. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just glad everybody came together and is able to share some time. And, you know, I want to jump on something Brian said, you know, about being welcomed like a brother. The first time I met Tom in person, I hadn't known him for very long, but the warmth of his hug was like out of control. I mean, I really did feel like we had known each other forever and that we had been brothers our whole lives. And it was really a remarkable moment. And it was immediately clear the type of man he was, and it, nothing ever changed on that front from my perspective. So, you know, the reason we thought about making the topic today, how do we get things done, is that Tom got a lot of things done. And, you know, it can be such a challenge to move forward and bring things to fruition in the world while you're living with Parkinson's. So I think, you know, just moving into sort of another way to celebrate Tom's impact on our lives would be to say, well, how do we carry that forward? And I think, Amy, you already talked about this a little bit, but I don't know if anybody has any perspective on that. You know, what are the ways that we can move forward, and how do people bring their plans into the world when dealing with the challenges, which are many, of living with Parkinson's? I don't know if anybody wants to take that up.
I think I'd chime in right away, because I think the one thing that helped Tom be successful was he had passion about the project he invested his time in. So the Pedaling for Parkinson's was a big passion, and he worked closely with the foundation on that. And even when COVID hit, you know, that was more motivation for him to get it out there more. So I think the primary thing, and I think of for myself, when I am more active in getting things done, it's when I have passion for it, I can overcome obstacles a lot better. And that was definitely his secret.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I also think he set a really good example about setting some boundaries as Parkinson's progressed. And I think he did that with such grace. And I think the challenge sometimes of living with this disease is that it is a series of incremental loss. And I think trying to set realistic expectations when you have a moving target of a disease can be really challenging. And so giving ourselves permission to not be an expert at it from the very beginning, and saying, I'm trying to learn, I'm a work in progress, and I'm trying to learn to set some boundaries. I wasn't very good at that pre-Parkinson's. And I think perhaps Parkinson's is one of my biggest teachers in that. And so I'm trying to give myself grace as Tom would give me grace in that disease progression. So I just think we have to keep going. And even if that looks really, really different than it even did a few months ago, keeping going may be just showing up once a month rather than showing up every day. But I think you got to keep showing up at some level, whether it's here or whether it's for your family or whether it's for your workout, you do what you can. And if you feel a little lost along the way, it's our job to reach out, right? That's why this foundation's here. That's why Tom did the work he did. It's why we all are doing the work we do. We need each other.
We do.
And I would add to what everyone else has already said, and what I'm hearing in my heart from you guys, is that concept of quiet leadership, being an influencer. I think those active moments of leading from the front, but those really significant time frames of guiding from the side, you know, by example, more than words or as much as words.
Exactly.
That's beautiful, Lorraine. Thank you.
I think one of the things I would emphasize, and this is only from, you know, what's the saying, either be a good example or a horrible warning. I had started a bunch of things and I was very engaged, and then had a family situation, not me, but something else that just yanked me out. And I was lucky to have been with everything I had started, and I had kind of learned this the hard way, is to make sure I recognize other leaders in the things that I started from the beginning. So like when I started Amy Says Dance almost right away, I recognized everyone in that group as an individual contributor and as group contributor, so that if I had to step away, and I did, and they even said goodbye, and we had a big goodbye party, and the next day it just kept going. And I stepped out for months and was never there, and would tune in very good, and it was still happening. And I was so thrilled to know that it wasn't mine, it was really ours. And I think the more you can do that, and I saw that happen in a couple instances of things that I had started with, and the more you can reach out and recognize other leaders and bring them up, you know, reach out to the people who are new and say, you know, you have something to contribute. Please, please become part of this, and don't hold on to things so tightly, because we don't have control of anything. I mean, I think we all know that on the screen, right? We have no control. And so to think that anything is yours is kind of a misnomer anyway. And if you just get over that right off the bat and really work on not being the leader, but recognizing everyone else's leadership. And I think that, you know, Davis and starting this program with the ambassadors is like the epitome of recognizing that, is saying everyone here has something to contribute, and everyone here has something beautiful to say to the tribe. And the more we can prop each other up and say that to each other, the easier it is for all of this to work well. So that's my thing, because you're going to have to step away. I mean, I'm looking around the screen and I'm like, yeah, okay, I know Heather had to step away. I know that, you know, Lorraine's had to step away. I mean, Brian's had to step away. We've all had our moment, you know, Kevin recently, you know, I mean, we all have had our moment where all of a sudden it's like, crap, I have to step away. So just know it's there.
And I think sometimes while we're doing it, it's important to communicate and say, hey, it's somebody else's turn. I had my turn, but stepping back, but not going completely away. And that's why it's so beautiful to see so many of you here, because you've been mentors to me. But that's the showing up part, right? That's the staying engaged. You can step back, but don't leave completely.
And I think to chime in kind of on what both of you guys are saying, but what Amy was saying, and it's also asked for help. You know, Tom found that the Tour de Victory was too big for him. And so he gave it to the foundation, and then he worked really close with Rebecca And then 2 years ago when I was there, he was supposed to put up all the signs for the stations and turning here and there and stuff. And he asked me to come along with him. And, you know, that was wonderful to help him with that because we got a couple hours together. And I think also the example Tom gave us was live in service of others. He and I were anxious to ride together. We'd never ridden together. So we start this ride together, and within half a mile, Tom's gone. Somebody's bike broke down. Tom was there to help him. And, you know, he was getting parts for him and stuff like that. And then I had this amazing other ride with a story to it, but that's Tom. You know, he lived in service of others. He didn't put his needs always first. I mean, we're all human. Sometimes we have to. And that's also kind of what some of you are saying, but then you also have to have the ability to let go and live in the moment.
And living in the moment is not easy when you're in a lot of pain. We all want to leave these bodies. Sometimes I have the sensation that I'm up in the corner of the room watching things unfold. Like I'm not even there, which repeats itself on the street when people sort of look right through you. Or of course, they're very busy and you're the lone maniac standing there trying to make eye contact with the millennials and such. Just kidding. I'm Gen X. Nice to meet you. But in terms of Parkinson's, we get quieter by design. Go or be dragged. Like, I'm not doing this by choice. I'm not backing up by choice. I'm stubborn. I want to stay. I want to be here. But recognizing that capacity, as was mentioned earlier, not packing things in so tight, and having the humility, which is really hard, to admit I can't do much. I'm increasingly disabled. But doesn't mean I don't have any capacity. It doesn't mean I don't keep enjoying. So let's keep enjoying where we can, just like we mentioned Tom did. Thank you. Yeah.
So Heather, what you just said called to my mind that one of the things that becomes a challenge in that, you know, in everything you just said is maintaining open lines of communication, because you end up with so many things on your plate that you have to deal with. And you also have difficulties potentially with the act of communicating, whether it's vocally or even using your hands to type. I think on the one hand, the answer is, well, we have to have grace with each other and be understanding. But on the other hand, you know, what do we do about that? Does anybody, I mean, I realize I'm asking, this is a really hard question, but is there anybody have any insight into how we can stick with that in addition to being graceful, and like how to power through those communication difficulties? Yeah, Lorraine.
I think, and I'm not trying to make light of this very important topic, communication is critical. And we all know there's verbal, nonverbal, et cetera, but I would liken it to pedaling on a tandem. And let's put Tom in the front seat and we're in the back. Now, when my husband and I tried to ride a tandem, here was the problem. I get off on the left side of the bike, he gets off on the right. That's a little difficult when you're going two ways trying to make a tandem stop, because then it stays in the middle and keeps rolling. But I think we learned how to communicate with hand signals, if not words, depending on how noisy it was out there. So we could pedal on a tandem, but instead we donated Big Red to Tom up there in Colorado. And if you see a Big Red tandem, you'll know that it's because we learned to communicate, but then we chose to find other ways to enjoy riding together. So I think it's, you know, choose your means of communicating and choose what works well for you. And Tom and the tandem were a great lesson for us.
Oh my gosh, Lorraine, I love that. That's hilarious. I was going to say quickly, to be very gentle with yourself about communication, and to that it's okay if somebody emails you and you don't get back to them for a month. When I get an email from somebody in the community, it doesn't matter how long ago I sent them the question. I'm just happy to know they're still out there when I get the response back. And so I think most of us in the community know that. And that sometime it may take time. And And I think that we sometimes get really anxious because anxiety is another, any means of communication, email, phone calls, texting, whatever works, right? It's like, even if it's like two words, they wrote you an epiphany, an epic poem, or whatever, and you write back two words, that's enough. And don't wear that anxiety on your shoulder that says, I have to give tit for tat. I have to be responsive immediately like I was when I was back in the corporate world. I have, let those things go and just do. And also, my first therapist told me this, don't be afraid to pick and choose. If somebody is asking for your time and that person does not, I hate to say this, deserve your time, or does not appreciate what your situation is, maybe they're not in the community, maybe they don't have a sense of what you're going through, be thoughtful about how you engage there. And she told me that when I was trying to decide who to tell, because this was back in the day when I had to keep my Parkinson's a secret. And she was like, don't feel like you have the requirement to tell anyone. And I would say that now translates forward to me for a lot of things. Don't feel like I'm required to do anything for anyone first. Now, getting that out of the way, invest where it makes the most sense, where you can have the biggest impact, where it answers what's your calling, and that engagement is part of your mission and who you are and is good for that person, if you're a person of service, whatever it is that your mission is. I think that, just being very wise and forgiving with yourself, first off, and then second off, giving yourself permission to triage.
So, Amy, Kat used to be my therapist, but I'm kicking her out and replacing her with you. You need to send me the name of your therapist, because everything you said are things that I'm going through right now. I still have to communicate in the corporate or nonprofit world. And that's not that big of an issue because it is an issue, but the more pertinent issue is communicating with family and friends, particularly when my hand is too shaky to send out a text and I keep accidentally hanging up the phone because my thumb is shaky, or I call the wrong person, and I, like a couple of days ago, I hung up on someone three times and I realized it wasn't me hanging up. It was the iPhone, because I was shaking it and it thought something was wrong, so it hung up on its own. And I'm like, okay, I got to put that iPhone down. Or when I get long text messages from friends, I am not able to parse long text or long emails anymore. I need paragraph breaks in between. I need people to keep things shorter and concise. And I tell people, and they get, I don't know if they get offended or upset or curious. And I just say, I don't have that capacity anymore. I can't go and read the old paperback novels that I used to read because everything is.
But what if you're using voice to text?
So then that becomes the other problem. So voice to text is another issue, because now my voice is creaky. When I'm on, it's great, but it's often soft. And, when you have a mom who has like hearing problems, like my mom, but she won't admit to hearing problems, and I've got the soft voice, it's a comedy of errors. And so when I talk on the phone and I do voice to text, the voice gets shaky, everything gets shaky. So I can't type, I can't do voice to text, and I'm exhausted trying to manage in between the two. And it's just, it's just too much. But the other thing that friends keep telling me and family is like, oh, is that your response? Just okay, or thumbs up, or just two words? And that's all I have the energy for. And I have to repeat to them constantly, that's all I got. If you're looking for someone to give you big responses anymore, that's not me. I can't do that anymore. Find another friend to talk to. And when I can give a big response, I will, but I just don't have the energy anymore. I can't even pull forth the energy or the mental capacity. It is not there. It is just not there.
Hey, Lorraine, I was going to say, you talk about a tandem. I always call the tandem bicycle a divorce machine. It's one of those things that if you're not on the same wavelength, don't ride a tandem, right? But I just want to add something today. I have a bit of a confession. I called Chris this morning and tried to get out of being on this webinar today. And the reason why was I was going through my own world getting very small. The day before Tom passed away, my dad passed away. And I'm actually here in his office doing this call as I'm helping my mom go through transitions. We're going to have to sell this house and move her to a memory clinic because she was just diagnosed last year with Alzheimer's. And what I was feeling was through the course of going through home hospice here was this incredible blanket. Usually I'm really the optimistic guy. And I just felt like shutting off from the world. My voice had gone to nothing. And I was sleep deprived for the last 30 days. You know, those of you who have been involved in home hospice, it's wonderful in one respect, but it's so hard in another. So anyway, I called Chris and I was trying to weasel my way out of being on today's call. But I have to tell you, you guys helped me break comeback. And that really means a lot to be on this call. Just the pickup of knowing that I have people like you who get what I'm going through. It means that we'll bounce back, right? We'll figure it out. And to me, that means everything. So thank you all.
Thank you.
I would have to echo what Kevin is saying. This group for me has been, I mean, the Ambassadors Davis Finney Foundation for me has been such an amazing part of my life. Anything and anything I've given to this foundation has come back to me in triplicate, 10 times fold, 20 times fold. When everything fell apart in my life and I just walked away from everything, my husband and I dragged our sorry butts to the Ambassador Conference in Kansas City. And it was a dark, dark moment for us. And he didn't even make it through the conference. And I couldn't do anything like what I would normally do at one of our conferences. I mean, And it was just an amazing moment to just have this community just embrace me and say, God, we're so glad to see you, even though I felt like I was a mess and everything was going wrong. And I would tell everyone the one thing that I've always said about having Parkinson's and all these things that we're talking about, like three and talking about communication with family and people outside of the community. It's very difficult to get people to understand where we are. So you need to stay in community so that you can take those breaks from fighting, from trying to get the world to understand where you are. You have to come into community and be embraced by the people who get you and can fill you up with what you need and make you feel like you can go back out there again, right? And I think, Kevin, you're facing that same thing. I mean, you're sucked into things that your family needs you for and you need to be there for. And it's 10 times harder for us because we don't interact with the world the way that we wish we could. We knew one day we were able to do it and we can't anymore. We know what they expect because we used to do it.
Right.
And so you have to experience these breaks coming back into community and try to remember that because it happens to me every time. It's like, oh, I don't know if I have the time or the energy. And then I come back and I feel, oh, I'm so glad I did this. I needed this. I didn't even know I needed this.
I'm going to give you hands three in line and make an appointment with Amy.
I think we need to ban the word should from our vocabulary.
Yes. Marty for the win. Thank you. Marty, I often think about the unenforceable rules as I've learned them from Fred Luskin. I don't know if anybody's aware of these unenforceable rules, what other people should do. For example, a mother should love her children a certain way. You know, a sister should do this and all that. Let's release that. Thank you so much, Marty. Thank you.
One thing I'm learning in when I'm chatting with people is that Gen Zers have a very different way of interacting. Everything is in acronyms, like WID, what are you doing? What you doing? WG, what's good? And I think that might be really helpful for people with Parkinson's. So not only is it less for us to type, we just get to sound very cool.
Mm.
But the only people who can understand us will be those who are 24 and under.
I don't know, Sri, I still have trouble not putting commas and full punctuation in texts. So right. It's really hard, you know? I remember once, I don't know what show this is on, I steal it from the... But this guy was really upset because he was texting with somebody and they sent him an emoticon. And this was some time ago. And he's like, how could anyone use an emoticon to express themselves? I am actually, yeah, I struggle with that because, you know, yeah, I'm there. But you're right. Abbreviations, emoticons, you gotta embrace that crap, you know, because it works.
I stopped using commas, periods, and apostrophes because my fingers are just... It just doesn't always work. So I figure, and I'm an English major, so I feel really bad. But I'm like, I think people have enough sense to get what I'm talking about. And I just figure if my autocorrect gets something wrong, unless it's something completely egregious, I'm just leaving it there and they can figure it out.
It's funny, we're talking about the forms of communication. I was at my doctor's office the other day and this doctor was observing and he said, how's your handwriting? And I said, oh, it's just, it's unlegible. It's nothing like it used to be. And I said, and my typing's worse because my right hand tremor keeps clicking the mouse and I'm in different parts of the paragraph. I didn't realize I went there and it's all askew. And if I try to do speech to text, it's, we all know what a crazy world that could be. So, but I think one thing interesting he said is there's a program out there for slowing down the mouse or something like that. So I haven't checked it out yet, but what I'm finding is that the more we put out there what our troubles with communication are, there's going to be somebody who's going to either understand for sure and maybe definitely have a tip or something to bring around. And one other thing I want to say in this vein, and this is kind of touching on what Amy did, but it's a community. It's community first and foremost with Parkinson's. That's where people are going to get you. That's where you're going to be able to say the things that you can't say to others and be understood. And like for me, with the PTSD issues that I have from the thing that happened a year ago, my world has gotten really small, really single digit small. And it's this community that makes me want to get better and get out. So this is the thing I never want to miss when we do these talks and we have the things here, because it gets me back into the advocacy again and it opens up. And I love it when people write back, even though I don't always write them back. And you just get a better community by sharing and opening up.
Yeah, so on that front, I just want to note that something Kayla, my colleague Kayla, just put in the chat about the ambassador program. You know, there are ambassadors all over the country, and you know, it's an easy way to get connect with someone who might be able to introduce you to some new things, or maybe you'll just make a new friend. And so, if you're if you need a new connection, you know, you can go to the ambassador link that, that is in the chat, and we'll put it in the blog post that is accompanying the release of the recording when we make that. So, you know, don't hesitate to reach out to our ambassadors. They want to hear from you, and they're here for you. So, you know, make use of that to get into the community. If you're having, if you have a need, just reach out. We're here for you.
And if you reach out to one and they don't get right back to you, try another one.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because everybody, there's always something going on, you know, and the same, it's, you have to be a little bit gracious. I think it's, you never know how many, what's going on in someone's life. So don't take it personally if there's a little delay, but yeah. And also don't hesitate to reach out to someone else. Good point. Thanks, Amy.
And I want to attest that everybody, that Chris is putting his money where his mouth is, because he called me last night to check in when I got some bad news too. So the Davis Finney Foundation means it when they say that, because they know exactly what it means to have this kind of support. Thank you. You really, I appreciate you.
The other thing I've been learning when I've been communicating recently, in order to be able to get support and give support, is I have to slow down when I talk, because I'm so used to being a fast talker and I can't say certain words anymore. Things with R's are a lot more difficult for me. Like, I feel like a 2-year-old. Like, you know, if you were two, or you, I don't think you remember when you were two, but if your parents, your 2-year-old can't pronounce R's, so they'll be replaced with L's or W's or all sorts of interesting letters. So now I get so frustrated that I can't say what I'm trying to say. And I just find myself in the middle of a conversation, taking a very deep breath, and just people then realize that I'm struggling to communicate and that I have to talk like Fran Drescher when she's trying not to sound like Fran Drescher. I have to talk really slow and really, with the, what's the word I'm looking for? With the intent. And that actually helps. So I have lots of thanks to give Fran Drescher for teaching me that.
One thing I've learned from being on these webinars and looking at my face, looking back at me, is that I have facial masking, or resting bitch face, as I call it. I'm constantly frowning, and I don't even realize it. And so I'm trying to remind myself, smile when I'm talking to other people, face to face at least.
Yeah, my friends are all used to that for me, Doug. So they haven't noticed any change. They're like, you were like that when you were 20 and you're like that now. So I don't get any respite.
I think that's been the best thing about Zoom for people with Parkinson's. I think that having my face in my face has been really good to teach me how much I rely on resting bitch face and how much I need to stop. Because, you know, exactly. Now Heather's crushing my face. But it's like, you all of a sudden you look at yourself like, is that what I look like? Oh my God. You know, so, you know, and it's not that you can always control it, right? But if you're at least aware of it, you know. Props for Zoom. I noticed that somebody in the chat very, very early on asked about neurotransmitters. Did we want to address that at all? Or I don't know, Chris, I'm just like wondering.
I think the
if you have a perspective on that, go for it.
I think the question was whether dopamine was the main neurotransmitter in Parkinson's disease, or was there something else?
Well, I think there was a couple of things, but I would say that there's, my opinion, there's three main transmitters that are affected in Parkinson's, and that's, and I'm going to struggle with talk about pronouncing. There's dopamine, and then there's acetylcholine, and then there's norepinephrine, I think is how you say those three.
Right.
I believe that those are the three that are predominantly affected in Parkinson's. But I think somebody said, and I saw in the chat, I want all them. I think it was Chris. I think you said, I want all the transmitters. I'm with Chris. I want all the transmitters.
Yeah, that was the force of my response, was mostly to say that I think there's so many nuances to the chemistry involved, that I think it's you know, you're starting to see, if you watch the Emerging Therapies webinar that we hosted, and we just published the video of, I think today, Dr. Michael Okun talks about how one of the things he's most excited about is that there are new treatment approaches investigating non-dopaminergic pathways and how important he thinks those developments are going to be.
Yeah, I think they mentioned getting into research, and it's not, Parkinson's is not all about dopamine. We need to look beyond that. And so I think to J.R. Ferguson's point, that what is there other than DOPA that's still being researched. So I think the Davis-Finney Foundation will publish updates as they get the updates on what the research is on all the other neurotransmitters we love and don't know about and want to bring on as friends.
Well, and I think that dopamine has been the one that's been focused on because it initially was decided to be a motor disease. And of course, then we've opened up Pandora's box when we started looking at it and realized, oh, it is so much bigger than that.
I'm going to have to sing some space on my skin to get the tattoos of all the other neurotransmitters that matter. I already got dopamine. So we'll see where the rest go.
I just learned how to draw the chemical system for dopamine. Now I got to do the other ones too. Forget it.
Right?
Well, you know, we have to learn to fly a plane too. Wow. I was told there'd be no math.
Kevin might have more insight into this. Kevin is up to date on all this stuff.
Well, I'll tell you, my voice probably couldn't handle it right now, but another time we'll have this conversation.
Yeah.
But what is really good is we're viewing now Parkinson's not by symptom, but by biology. That's going to make all the difference in the world in finding treatments. So be it dopamine, be it serotonin, be it whatever, these targets need to be classified according to what's actually happening biologically. Without that, we're sort of in the dark.
And I don't think we can just focus on alpha-synuclein, as some scientists are. I think we have to look at all the things that can interact that cause our symptoms that are biologic.
Mm-hmm.
The whole picture.
Yeah, in the same way that there's so many unique experiences of Parkinson's, there's so many ways to approach navigating and treating it. And we're going to learn more about that in an ongoing fashion. So taking a holistic view seems like the right way from my perspective, at least. And speaking of a holistic view, we have reached the hour mark. So we're going to sign off for today very soon. But before we do, I just wanted to say that, you know, our next meetup will be the 16th of May. And, you know, we look forward to seeing you all back then. And I just want to say another thank you to the folks who joined us today to celebrate Tom. And, thanks for being here, everybody. And we'll look forward to seeing you all next time. Take care.